Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it. Common sense. In a world of insanity.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden gave his State of the Union address. And let's be fair, I did not expect Joe Biden to go out there and take responsibility for all of his failures. No president has ever done that. No president has ever went out to the State of the Union and basically said, well, here's all the things I did wrong. No, instead, most presidents highlight the things they did right and they play down the things they did wrong. The trouble with the Biden administration is they don't have anything to play up. They don't have a single solitary accomplishment. So instead, they steal other people's accomplishments and claim it as their own. Or they take abject disasters and failures and claim it's an accomplishment. It's almost unbelievable to listen to. Joe Biden literally said, we inherited the worst economy in ages, and it's come roaring back. It's come roaring back. Well, first off, Joe, you actually inherited the best economy in ages. The problem was it was artificially stalled. It was put on life support by ridiculous Democratic policies regarding COVID that lasted way, 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 way too long. Under Donald Trump, things were locked down, yes. But do you honestly think that if Trump won, he would have kept this country locked down this long? You're the ones who did that. The Democratic Party are the ones who did that. The Democratic Party are responsible for the abject disaster that this economy suffered under COVID because, as we know now, thanks to the John Hopkins studies and now the CDC admitting it, the lockdowns did nothing. The masks did little to nothing. We should have just kept right on going with our lives. Had we done that, the economy, which was just stalled for maybe, I don't know, a month or two, a couple of months, would have come roaring back. But to say it's come roaring back now is absolutely just a flat-out lie. It's a flat-out lie. The economy is not roaring back. Can't find meat in the stores. When you can't find pet food, when you can't buy lumber to build if you have a repair to be done in your house, when you can't buy a new car or a used car because they're way, way, way too expensive, when gas is at an all-time high just about in most places and heading higher, that's not the economy roaring back. What he's taking credit for there, folks, is I told everyone to stop working. You can't go to work. Now when I'm telling them they can go to work again and some of them are coming back, I'm taking credit for all of that as if I created those jobs. That's what he's doing. He's taking credit as if he created all of those jobs. Trouble with that is he hasn't created any, really. Now, Joe Biden said, and I quote, I have the quote here, 6.5 million jobs is what I created. 6.5 million. There's no evidence he's created any. Show me the evidence he's created any. This is just an arbitrary number he pulled out of thin air, or his people pulled out of thin air, when it comes to how many people have returned to the workforce that weren't working. That's not creating a job. That's allowing you to go back to work. So that's a lie. And Joe Biden lied often, loud and often, in what I can only describe as one of the most bizarre State of the Union addresses I've ever seen. And the reason it was bizarre is, yes, all politics is theater. All politics is a performance. I get it. But this was pro wrestling. This was a predetermined event. Don't believe me that it was a predetermined event? Chuck Schumer jumped to his feet to applaud because he thought that was his cue and then realized, oh, no, this is something people are booing. I have to wait a minute. There were literally parts of this speech baked into the mix that all of the people there on the Democratic side were told, the minute that's said, jump to your feet. You're actors in a play. And through the whole thing, lies, lies, and lies. But what's Joe Biden going to say? He doesn't lie. Oh, foreign policy is wonderful, really? Well, I don't know. You pulled out of Afghanistan, sent the troops home first, so the civilians were just dead meat. Then, when your feeble actions caused 13 brave men and women to get blown up by these terrorist thugs, what is your response? I'll tell you what your response is. You drone striked a family and killed the man and 7 children. Isn't that what you were saying that Putin is committing war crimes doing? So you committed a war crime. You drone striked and killed a man and his family for no good reason. So that you could all get on television and say, we hit a prominent terrorist. The man responsible for killing those 13 brave men and women has been brought to justice. We've blown him sky high. Pat everyone on the back. What a great job we've done. But then when reporters started investigating this a little bit and said, what is that man's name exactly? Who is that person that you killed? What's his name? We got the old Ralph Cramden treatment. Humana, 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 humana. And then they knew they were caught. So they said, well, it may have actually not struck the target we thought. Yeah, you think? You're guilty of war crimes. You killed 7 children for no reason. No reason at all. And we're worried here about what Putin's doing in Ukraine, which is horrible. But I want everyone to understand something about the Ukraine situation. There's nothing to be done now. You can't send in American troops. It'll be World War III. Does everybody want World War III? The real issue was not what we do after Putin invades, because then it's too late. The real issue was what do we do before he invades, and that's where Biden dropped the ball and claims we did everything we possibly could in his State of the Union speech. That is a lie. The moment those troops, and we have great intel, the moment his troops started to amass on the border, a phone call should have been made. And all that needed to be said is the following. We have intel that your troops are amassing on the Ukraine border. So from this moment forward, not one drop of oil is coming into this country. We are going to petition all of our allies to stop buying oil from you. We are opening up our drilling and our Keystone pipeline. We are going to supply oil to all of the European countries. You're going to be on a blacklist. We're shutting down your banking. We're putting all these sanctions on you. And I know what Putin would have said. We're not invading. We're just doing whatever. Okay, when they pull back, this stuff comes off. But we don't believe you. So unfortunately, this is what you get. All of the sanctions that's currently on him are not going to do any good. Not for 30 or 40 days. That's too late for Afghanistan. I mean for Ukraine. Just like it was too late for the people in Afghanistan. You're a nickel short and a day late. This was preventable. You knew he was amassing troops. What, do you think that takes 5 seconds? Yesterday everything was fine and everybody was in Russia. And today they're invading. That's not the way it works, folks. It's not the way it works. We knew. And Putin kept bluffing. No, no, we're not doing that. We'll talk to you. I'm going to call Joe Biden. We'll get together. All the while he's saying, idiot, I'm buying time. I'm buying time. I'm buying time. And then when Joe and his handlers, who are such idiots and ideologues, they don't realize they're being played, said, he's not invading. He's going to talk to us soon. He's not. He's just, he's being honest with us. Oh, he did invade? Son of a bitch. Yeah, he played you like a fiddle. Your time for action was before this. You knew the troops were amassing. You had absolutely no excuse not to issue every one of these sanctions immediately and harshly. And I'm not talking about a little by little. Well, we're not there yet, Joe said in his infamous speech when heavy sanctions. We're not quite there yet. What are you waiting for? Huh? What are you waiting for? I know what you're waiting for, the invasion, and now it's too late. In the chat room, we're saying if Trump was the president, they were preventable, of course, because Trump would have done exactly what I just said. He would have said, I don't care what you're doing on the border. I don't care what you're telling me. I know from my intel that you're amassing troops on the border, and until they are withdrawn, the following actions are going to be taken. Number one, he wouldn't have had to do that because Putin wouldn't have done it. Let's explain how this works. Joe Biden takes the oath of office and says Keystone Pipeline is officially over. Drilling on federal lands are officially over. We will now get our oil and energy from the Middle East and Russia. Okay, well, because I'm opening up Putin's pipeline. Oh, tremendous. Now I know a lot of people say, well, that pipeline's not open yet. It doesn't matter. That's key. That's the second part of his pipeline. The first one's been open, and it's running right through the Ukraine. And we're getting 500,000 or 600,000 barrels a day. Right now, today, 500,000 or 600,000 barrels we will buy. So we're financing his invasion of the Ukraine. We're helping to finance it. Instead of clearly saying not one drop of oil will be bought, and if any of our allies, any of them, buy any oil from you, there's going to be repercussions. Officially, you're not selling oil. You might sell it to, I don't know who you'll sell it to. You might have one or two buyers, but you're not going to have the world buying your oil. That would have crippled Putin. You think a war is cheap to run? He wouldn't have been able to finance it. There's no possible way he would have invaded the Ukraine under those circumstances. Case closed, folks. He wouldn't have done it. He couldn't have done it. He barely can do it now. Production done. Open Putin's wide open. And said, yeah, let's all buy from him. Tremendous. You did a wonderful job. Wonderful job there, Joe. Then he has the nerve to say, this economy is so strong. Roaring back, inflation is at a four-decade high. I didn't make that up. Go look it up. It's at a four-decade high. What's this thanks to? Well, number one, overspending by the government, printing money like it's going out of style, and these insane lockdowns that I told you about to begin with. Who do you think the fault is? Lying with in these lockdowns that would never go away. You think it's lying with the Republicans? Well, if it's lying with the Republicans, how come Texas didn't do it and Florida didn't do it and they're fine? They opened up long, long, long ago and everything's just fine and dandy. Oh, but in those Democrat states, they're still running commercials on New York television saying, make sure you keep your mask on. Make sure you stay 6 feet distance from people. The CDC's already said that's a myth. It never worked. But they're still insisting on it because it never had anything to do with your health, ever. And now we're beginning to realize it. Look up in Canada, where 90% of people are vaccinated. And they're calling the people who don't want to get vaccinated, or at least the people who say there should be a choice and don't want to wear a mask, they're calling them Nazis. You got 90% of your population vaccinated, and if you don't wear a mask, you're a Nazi, and you're going to jail. You think that's about health? Come on, folks. Then one of the lines that really made me just want to throw up is when he says, it's a tricky line, I'll tell you why though. He says, we don't want to defund the police, we want to fund the police. Well, here's why that's a tricky line. The Republicans had no choice but to stand up and applaud. What are they going to do? If they sat down and said, we didn't stand up because he's a liar and he doesn't want to do that, they're going to turn it around and say, oh, see, I thought the Republicans wanted the police funded. When we said we're going to do it, they sat there on their hands. We're the ones who stood up and applauded. If they stand up and applaud, they're going to say, see, even the Republicans are coming around. Joe's winning them over. Two line, folks. That was a catch-22 line. Could fund the police until they're all running around in Rolls Royces to stop you on the highway. It does not matter because half his party doesn't want that. And even if they all got together and said, yes, we're going to fund the police, they have still put in place judges and prosecutors who refuse to prosecute crimes. So basically you're saying, yeah, police go out and catch them and we'll let them go again. As a man who just literally shit in a bag on a subway in New York City, walked to the other car and smeared it in the face of a woman who had rejected a sexual advance from him, smeared it in her face while all onlookers are looking on, and he's rubbing it into her face and her hair, asking her if she likes it. They were going to let him go. Well, he didn't actually hurt anyone, but then he threatened the judge. Oh, you threatened the judge? Oh, your free ride is no longer a free ride. He can threaten anybody else. He can threaten your mom. He can threaten your sister. He can threaten your wife. Can't threaten the judge. That's special. So it doesn't matter if the police are out doing their jobs. What good does it do for the police to say, we found this criminal who was trying to stab somebody to death, and you say, did he stab somebody to death? No, we prevented it. Oh, he didn't do any harm out in the street, and then he goes and stabs him to death. What good does it do? The crime rate is soaring. The crime rate in New York City, I'm from New York, the crime rate on the subway is up 200%. 200%. It's not even safe to leave your house in New York City, day or night. But Joe Biden wants to fund the police. But he doesn't want to back the police. Throwing money at the problem isn't going to fix it, Joe. See, that's what every Democrat thinks. Throw money at inflation, it'll fix it. Spending more money. Since when? If you were in debt up to your eyeballs, would you say, well, you know how I'm going to get myself out of this debt? I'm going to spend more money. No, you wouldn't. Well, that's what the Democrats are doing. If I can just pass this bill, I'm telling you this will do, it will do nothing except drive us farther and farther into the inflation rate, which is already approaching 10%. So please, don't tell me you want to fund the police. Not when you have members of your own party saying, I mean totally defund them, I mean replace them with something else. Well, you better wake up and realize there are members of your party do not want to fund the police. But even if you do, Joe, until you get these prosecutors and these judges in line, nothing's going to happen. Crime rate's not going to go down. Then we get a real laugh line, don't we? He says, it's time for us. Now that COVID is in its final stages and we're starting to now see more freedoms and get back to normal. Well, who stopped us? You stopped us. You stopped us. Right? You're the only person that stopped us. So that would be the equivalent of smacking someone in the face repeatedly, and then when it stops, giving them an ice pack and saying, I solved the problem. I helped you. Well, you helped me. The hell are you talking about? You caused the problem. You actually caused the problem. And now you're going to take credit for solving it. Amazing. I mean, that is actually amazing. That you would have the hubris to do that is actually amazing. We then get to unity. It's so good that we're going to have unity in this country. You want unity? Is that what you really want? Well, let's see how you went about trying to get that unity, huh? When people said they didn't want to mask up, you know what you called them? Nazis. Science deniers. Plague rats. They're going to kill us all, these folks. Oh, the people that don't want to take the vaccine? They're going to kill us all. Separate them from society. That's not unity. That's not unity. When parents said, hey, I don't want you taking my 9-year-old daughter into a special class and telling her, it seems you're really a boy, but don't tell your mom, but you can dress like a boy and we'll give you a boy's name and we'll give you pamphlets to read about how to be a boy. But don't trust your mom. School board meetings and say, hey, what the hell are you doing to my kids? You know what they're labeled? You're a domestic terrorist. You dare defend your own children? How dare you do that? Those are domestic terrorists. We're going to ask the school board to write a letter saying that they're threatened and they're so that we can investigate you, all of you. Every aspect of your life, your banking, your past history, your social media, everything's going to be investigated. If you dare come to a school board meeting and say, I don't like what you're doing to my children. Is that unity? I don't think that's unity. I don't think that's unity at all. Oh, by the way, if you happen to be one of those crazy psychopathic people who think it's a good idea that you have to show an ID to vote, you're a racist. You're taking us back to Jim Crow. You're all just a bunch of closet racists. Is that unity? What unity is it exactly that you are trying to preach? Because it's not coming through, Joe. You must be psychopathic if you think in any way, shape, or form that anything you are doing is in any way preaching unity. It is preaching the exact opposite. While you're preaching everyone has to come together, you're applauding the people who say we want our own campuses on college and we want our own busing and we want our own areas to go to. What are you talking about? It's segregation. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that you're for it. You were for it early in your career, so I suppose being for it late in your career, it should not really be a surprise. What is a surprise is when you get in front of the American people and literally say, I want unity, while you're preaching all this other stuff. Now, I haven't talked much about Biden's gaffes because it's baked into the cake at this point, folks. It's baked into the cake. Anytime Joe Biden has to read from the teleprompter, he's incapable of doing it. He can't do it. I don't know if it has anything to do with his age. Maybe there's just some people who can't do it. I don't know. He seemed to be able to do it earlier on in his life. But now he's calling the Ukrainians Uranians. He's saying some weird thing about you can't build a wall high enough to keep the vaccine out. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He don't know what the hell he's talking about. Oh, and by the way, he is so for unity that he is absolutely pro-censorship, right? We need the White House to work in conjunction with Facebook and Twitter and all these other places to make sure misinformation is not given out. Well, let's see how that worked. If you said masks don't work, that is misinformation, you're banned. Truth is, masks don't work. If you said the lockdowns were going to be ineffective and really would hold no real weight to stopping the spread, you were banned. Turns out you were correct. So that's not misinformation. If you dared to say Hunter Biden's laptop was real, you were banned. That was Russian propaganda, and it could not be printed on any social media site. Turned out to be true. So who's spreading the misinformation? It seems that everything you want banned is actually the real information, and the stuff that you're spreading is the misinformation. In other words, you want the misinformation front and center. These are not fact checkers. These are ideology checkers. Does it match our ideology? No, it doesn't. Then it is false. The facts have no bearing. It is false. And we will shut you down. That's where we're at, folks. Then he says, well, my plan lowers inflation by what? By spending more money? Even some Democrats are saying, this is absurd. That's not going to work. And of course it's not going to work. Why would it work? Has it worked so far? Isn't this what Germany tried years ago, and what happened? See, Joe had nothing he could say to the American people. He couldn't say, I've lowered the prices of what? Everything's sky high. All he could say is, I've created jobs. Well, no, you've let people go back to work. That's not creating a job. There's not evidence you created any jobs, not one job. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But folks, more than anything else, and I know I got some phone calls, I'll get to them in a second. More than anything else, what bothered me about the State of the Union is the downright bizarre, almost cult-like behavior of the Democrats. Did you see Nancy Pelosi? I couldn't believe what I was watching. She literally got up from her chair and rubbed her hands together in some kind of a weird half dance, half, I don't know what the hell she was doing. This is the same woman who ripped up Donald Trump's State of the Union speech. Ripped it up. And now she's acting like a geriatric cheerleader, jumping to her feet and doing a little boogie-woogie. Yeah, man. She's insane. She's actually insane. Do you think that's fit behavior for a Speaker of the House? While people are being slaughtered in the Ukraine? Behavior? Yeah, do a little party dance. The truth of the matter is, folks, it's all rigged. It's all pro wrestling. And I know there's going to be people that say, well, all of it is. Yeah, but not to this extent. Yeah, like I said, a lot of it's theater. Of course it is. Every president in history accentuates the positive and plays down the negative. That's built into the mix. We already know that's going to happen. So when Donald Trump got up there and said, I did this, I did that, and I did this, yeah, he did all those things. He's right. And then a couple of things that weren't going his way, he kind of just glossed down on them and didn't say much. But Joe had nothing he could say because nothing is going correctly. Nothing is going correctly. So what do you want the man to do? I mean, the State of the Union should have been as easy as this. We are in abject disaster. Our inflation rate is higher than it's been in 4 decades and climbing. None of our enemies abroad fear us anymore. In fact, they're laughing at us. I mishandled COVID to the point where I've destroyed businesses and the economy. I spent us into an inflation we're never going to get out of. The crime rate is soaring. We can't seem to stop it. The American people have never been so divided in their lives. I have never seen anything equal to the division that I'm seeing. And I have absolutely no idea how to handle it. That's it. That would have been the truth. That would have been the truth. We go to the phones. Caller, are you there? What do you think of Biden's State of the Union?
What did I think of it? Oh, gee, I don't know. it was Pinocchio, his nose would have went to the end of the room. My God, it was just lie after lie after lie after lie. I felt like I was watching, like, how about a little less wooden and a little bit more real boy, Joe?
Yeah, listen, I don't know what to tell you. He's never been great at public speaking anyway. And I know, listen, I'm with you. If you take Joe Biden from 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, he was definitely more coherent, but he was never great anyway. He was never great at it. But now it's just, you know, there are times when you just sit there and say, what the hell is going on? What the hell is he thinking about? I really think, and of course all the news media says this is the greatest State of the Union of all time. Really? Well, you know, rather than to critique the speech, how about you critique how the country's running? Ask yourself. I mean, Joe Biden at one point said, you can look at this and clearly see you're better off than you were a year ago. Well, you mean a year ago when we were all locked down and nobody could leave their home for fear of death? And nobody could work, and you were having to pay their bills through a government check? Yeah, I guess we're marginally better off than that. But you couldn't get much worse, Joe. You couldn't get much worse. Are you better off than you were before COVID hit? Are you better off than you were then? No, you're not. And they're going to blame all of this on COVID. Everything. No, it's your response to COVID. That's what screwed it up. And you didn't listen to the science. See, this is the problem, folks. I know a lot of people are going to defend Biden and say, well, he listened to the science. And the science turned out to be wrong. Incorrect. He listened to a few people in the science, and when other people begged and screamed and hollered and said, wait, this isn't true. Wait, we have information. You know what they were told? You're banned from YouTube. You're banned from Facebook. You're banned from making speeches. This is misinformation, and we will not accept it. Rather than to say, well, okay, here's some opposing views. Let's take them all into consideration and see. No. See, that's not what science is. Science is listening to all the scientists and saying, well, let's formulate what we think is perhaps ever-changing, an ever-changing situation. You never did it. Instead, you shut them down. You refuse to let them speak. And then we were stuck with the mess. And I'm going to take credit for solving the mess, which is really hubris. I'll tell you, that takes balls. Joe Biden may not have many cognitive skills, but he must have balls the size of soccer balls to take credit for the things he's taking credit for. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. I guess not. Well, anyway, look, folks. The bottom line of this situation is very simple. You were lied to. I mean, I could go on and on and on and tell you. He lied about creating jobs. He lied about wanting unity. Well, you know, maybe he didn't lie about wanting unity. He probably does want unity. But to him, you know what unity is? Listen to me and believe what I say. Join my side. That's the ultimate unity. That's like the, you know, the Some Young Moon cult, right? We all are one big happy family as long as you listen to everything I say and do everything I tell you to do without question. Well, that's not the way United States of America works. Now, I know there are a lot of people in the chat room, Derek saying he did lower one thing. He lowered the price of fentanyl. Yeah, he sure did that. Might have lowered the price of, you know, white slavery, too. See, because we're living in a country currently where all of the citizens have to be vaccinated or show a vax card, unless, of course, you're here illegally, and then you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to do any of it. You have free range to do what you want. We've suggested to them, if I hear Jen Psaki one more time, cover for this nonsense, I believe I am going to tear my hair out. Well, that's a different situation. How's a different situation, Jen? There's millions of people flocking into this country. Canada says if 10% of our people aren't vaccinated, they're evil. They're Nazis. They must be imprisoned and put in internment camps. Jen Psaki saying, oh, well, if 2-3 million people come in unvaccinated, so what? So what? They don't count. We're only talking about the Americans who were here legally. Oh. Well, that's interesting. So you have more rights in this country if you're an illegal than you do if you're an actual American citizen. That's unity. That's real unity. Folks, the State of the Union is not good. I'm telling you right now, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, and I'll tell you why. I've had so many people write to me say, are we on the verge of World War III? Are we going to get into a nuclear war? And my answer is, that is highly, highly, highly unlikely. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. And it isn't going to take much, to be honest with you. And this doddering idiot who could have prevented this whole thing before it started now thinks in some way, shape, or form, I'm going to lead the NATO. I'm going to jump out ahead of the parade. And when all these countries are taking a stand, I'll say, I'm the one who led them. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. In fact, you were last response. Germany said, I'm not buying any more oil from them. How come we are? I'll tell you why we are. Jen Psaki said why we are. She was asked this question. Why are we still buying oil from Russia? Well, you see, we had to stop drilling here because of the flowers and the trees and the ozone layer and the sky and the water and the butterflies and the frogs. So they're more important than the people of Ukraine, eh? You phony. This ridiculous climate change crapola. Even if it's real, there are people dying now. And you're worried about, well, I don't know. We applaud Germany for doing what they're doing. Yeah, how come you don't do it? I thought you're leading the way. Huh? I thought America's leading the way. Leading the way says we are not buying any more oil from them. Who's with us? That's not what you did. Germany said we're not buying any more oil from them. Who's with us? And we said, well, not us because, you know, the flowers and the trees. I can't stand it. I can't stand it anymore. And I got a newsflash for everybody. While our military is worried about wokeness and transgenderism and all kinds of other things, we've forgotten the basic thing. It's supposed to keep the country safe. And we're not safe. Russia thinks we're weak. Do you think Vladimir Putin, in his wildest dreams, would have ever, ever, ever threatened to use the nuclear button when Donald Trump was in office? Holy crap, no. And I'm still running into people saying, you know, Trump is a Russian spy. The reason Vladimir Putin didn't invade was because he's such good friends with Trump. He wanted him reelected, and then they were going to wait until Trump's third year or so and invade, and Trump was going, oh, please, wake up from your nightmare. Take off your tinfoil hat and stick it in your ass. You got that shit right in front of your eyes, and you won't see it. How far do we have to force your eyes open before you realize you are duped into voting for a senile old man who knows nothing about politics and is ruining the country? And other people's country, too. You want to cry for the people of Ukraine? You press the goddamn button for Joe Biden. You're responsible. This is what you wanted, so you got it. And now you want to say, oh, my heart is with Ukraine. I stand in protest with them. You would run away. You wouldn't even stand with your fellow people when they said, we don't want a vaccine. Oh, no, you're evil. Kill, kill, kill them. I hope they all die of COVID. That was your response. And you think that I think for a moment you'd take up arms and hit the streets if Russian tanks were coming through your city? Are you kidding? You'd run to your cry spaces and ask for a coloring book and say, where's the people we pay to protect us? You voted for this. I don't hate you for voting for this. Because the news media is 90% responsible for feeding you nothing but propaganda 24 hours a day. But you need to take responsibility for believing it. Because it didn't take much for you to say, well, I don't know, that sounds a little strange. Let me do some research on my own. No, you're too lazy. That's why I know you'd never fight if Russian tanks came through your town. You're too lazy. As a matter of fact, you'd be the person calling up the cable company saying, when's cable going to be restored? I don't care if there's Russian tanks. I want to watch my show. Tough. You all thought you were doing the right thing voting for this guy. Did you see him? Did you take a real good look at him? Did you? That's what you voted for, folks. That's what you voted for. And I don't want to hear one complaint. Not one. When you're pumping $5 gas into your car, I don't want to hear it's Trump's fault. Because if I do, that means that you are honestly as delusional as the people who drank the Kool-Aid in Guyana during the Jim Jones era. The problem is you don't want to accept blame. I understand. I run into people like you. You know you've screwed up. You know Joe Biden's a nightmare. You know the country's being destroyed, but you know you helped. So instead of being honest, you're being disingenuous and saying, no, no, I can't be wrong. I'm too smart. It must be that evil Trump's fault. Somehow, some way, this is Trump's fault. Because I voted for Biden, and I can't be wrong. No, I'm here to tell you, you were wrong. You were misled by a media who fed you propaganda. You ate it up like it was chocolate pudding. And now you're crapping it out. You're responsible for what we saw during the State of the Union address. You're responsible for $6 gas prices. You're responsible for the people of the Ukraine going through the horrors they're going through. So tonight, when you brush your teeth, take a good look in the mirror. Take a damn good look. Because you might not be hearing mean tweets. You might not be hearing a guy bragging how great he is anymore. But you're watching the decline of your country, and you think that's better. And it's not. I don't disagree with people who don't like Donald Trump's personality. Whatever. You don't like him, you don't like him. The people I disagree with are the people who say, well, he ruined the country. Ruined the country. Was any of this happening during Donald Trump's administration? Remind me again. When does Joe Biden actually have any responsibility? He inherited the vaccine. He didn't create any vaccine. There was no warp speed under Joe Biden. What would have happened if COVID hit under Joe Biden? He'd have been in his basement somewhere saying, I don't know what the hell you're going to do. Wear 7 masks and the gloves and a suit of armor and saran wrap and put yourself in a Tupperware tub and close the lid. And hopefully in a year or two, things will get better. That's what he would have done because he had no answers. It was Trump who got warp speed going. It was Trump who kick-started the vaccines and the way to distribute them. And Joe Biden just inherited that. And then Biden said there was no vaccine until I was in office when we clearly have video of him taking the vaccine while he was a candidate. How many times is a man going to lie to you before you realize, I can't trust a word he says? Not one single word. Caller, we're at a point now. We're at a crucial point because things can't get, well, I take that back. Things can get a lot worse very fast, but we're getting close to rock bottom here, and it's going to get to a point where we're going to have to make some tough decisions because this isn't working. And when Russia and China, by the way, was China mentioned one time during the entire State of the Union? You know, Russia wouldn't have done this without China's help either. Without China helping to finance them, you can forget it. But, oh, no, don't say anything bad about China. But we're reaching critical mass here, caller. And I fear that we do not have the right people in place to pull our asses out of this fire.
No, agreed, Marcus. And let me just say this. You know, Joe Biden spent 2 minutes on China, and he didn't say a damn word, although Nancy Pelosi had a lot to say when our athletes were over there during the Genocide Olympics, during the Genocide Games, I like to call them, said, don't protest because the Chinese government is is brutal. Oh, really? Oh, really? Then why do we send our athletes over there? Furthermore, my favorite part of the whole week is when somebody, I don't know the name of the interviewer, but this should make the video of the week, asked Kamala Harris, the most unlikable person, to explain in layman's terms, I guess, what's going on in Ukraine. And her response was priceless. Well, Russia is in Europe, and it's a very big country. And Ukraine, door to Russia. And Russia is invading Ukraine. Well, thank you. Thank you for dumbing down everything that a five-year-old learned in freaking kindergarten. Look,
Kamala Harris couldn't find the Ukraine on a map. Can we just say what the truth is here? Am I allowed to say what the truth is without being called every name in the book? The truth is, Kamala Harris was so unpopular with her own party, she couldn't even win her own hometown in the primaries. The reason she has the job is because she's female and she's African-American. End of conversation. I don't care what you think that makes me. I'm telling you the truth. You can either deal with it as the truth, or you can run to your safe spaces and say, that's what a racist would say. That's what a misogynist would say. No, that is the facts. She was totally unqualified. She was immensely unpopular, even with her own party. And Joe Biden doesn't even like her. And he was ordered, this is going to be your pick. Period. End of conversation. When we start doing that as a country, that's when we start falling on our asses. Would you run your team that way? Let's say you had a baseball team. And you said, well, we have five really good starters who happen to be African Americans, but we don't really have any Asians. We could start this other Asian guy in center field, but he hits 007 and he strikes out 8 out of 10 times and he's farsighted and not very good in the field. But that's okay because we'll be more inclusive if we do it. Is that building a stronger team or a weaker team? See, I wouldn't give one damn if there wasn't one single person who looked like me on a baseball team. If that's my team, I want my team to be as strong as possible. I want every player, I don't care what their position is, to be the best player in that position that we have. And I don't care what their skin color is. And I don't care what their ethnicity is. And I don't care what their sexuality is. That's called not being a racist. Being a racist is when you define everything by race and say, now, is there somebody of every skin color and denomination on the field? Because if there isn't, we're doing this wrong. No, that's not doing, you're doing it right. You're picking the best people. Kamala Harris was not the best person. Joe Biden was not the best person. But you were all told, don't look at what Joe Biden did, which is nothing, in his 50 years. You were told, look at Trump. He's evil. Look at Trump. He's a Russian spy. Look at Trump. He's ruining the country. Look at Trump. He's going to cause the stock market to crash. Well, what's happening now? Look at Trump. Inflation's going to rise to 5, 6%. It's 10% now. Look at Trump. He's going to get us into a war. What's happening now? Everything that you said Donald Trump would cause, none of it happened. And then along comes Joe and all of it's happening. And you're still saying it's Trump's fault. Because unfortunately, you're one of two things. One of three things. Ignorant is a possibility. Two is too egotistical to understand that, yeah, I got duped. I voted for the wrong guy. Or three, you're such an ideologue that you don't care. Now, I know people of each one. I know people so ignorant, and I don't mean stupid. I mean they just don't follow the news at all, or if they do, they only watch CNN. So they're just like, I heard that Trump was a Russian spy, so I didn't vote for him because I'm afraid of Russia. Well, you know, you got lied to and you believed it. You're ignorant. Then you got the other people. Well, I'm a college graduate, and I have a political science major, and I know that Joe's good. I couldn't be fooled. Yeah, you're too egotistical to realize, no, you did get fooled. That's your ego. And then the third people are just the ideologues that say, I don't care if it's $1,000 a gallon for gas. As long as Trump's not in there, I win. You're an ideologue. Joe Biden's support number is like 33%. There's never been a president lower than this. Unless, of course, he drops dead and Kamala Harris gets in, because hers is even lower. You have no support. There's a man who stood before the nation with literally a 3 out of every 10 people, basically, supporting him and told them everything's great. Everything's great. We're doing a remarkable job. You're better off than you were. Do you feel that? Things are going great in the economy. Do you feel that? Our allies have never been more supportive of us. Do you feel that? Our enemies have never feared us more. Do you feel that? I mean, anybody could get on stage and say whatever they want to say. It doesn't make it true unless you're dumb enough to believe it. I could get on this radio show and say, I'm running for president, and I already have poll numbers higher than Joe Biden. And I can cure cancer, and I can see the future, and I can hit 7 home runs in one game with one hand tied behind my back. It doesn't make any difference what I say. I can say whatever I want. If you're dumb enough to say, vote for him, he's amazing, then that's your fault. That's your fault. What Joe Biden did in his State of the Union is basically give you a whole bunch of crap, all of that's not true. He couldn't say anything that's positive because nothing positive is happening in this country, folks. Your country's falling down. You can beg for unity, but what good is begging for unity when every single act that you do seeks to divide us and not unify us? You can call Putin out and say his sanctions will be crippling, except we're buying 600,000 barrels a day from him to help finance his invasion of Afghanistan. I mean, Ukraine. You can say he's great on foreign policy, and we finally got out of a country that we didn't belong in, but 13 of our brave men and women died in Afghanistan, and his response was to bomb a family with children. And leave all the weapons behind, by the way, some of which is probably rolling into the Ukraine as we speak. So, folks, no, it's not going well. It's not going well. And in a perfect world, your president would have came out and said, we are facing major challenges as a country. Inflation is hitting us hard, and it's hitting the American family hard. We have war technically in the West. Crime is up to an ungodly number, and the American people have never been more divided as a country. And we realize that some of the policies and things that we've done may have contributed to this. And from this moment on, you have my pledge that things are going to change because we're bringing America back to what it was. He didn't say anything like that. According to Joe, everything's just great. You have nothing to complain about. How dare you complain? Everything's smashing. Applauding yourselves on what a wonderful job we've done. Everybody jump to your feet now. Do that little dance that Nancy Pelosi does, because everything's wonderful. Except everything's not wonderful, folks. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Quickly. And I got news. It's going to get to a point where when Joe Biden is out of the White House, and he will be, ain't nobody going to solve this quickly. You think somebody's going to ride in on a white horse, I don't care who it is, and solve all this in 4 years? Not happening. It's not happening. Takes a minute to burn down a house. Takes years to rebuild it. And that's what's happening now. It's exactly what's happening now. Anyway, caller, I mean, you know, what's the path forward? There's nothing we can do except make him a lame duck president in 2022 and hope for the best in 2024. But like I said, by that time, this is just a little over a year in. By that time, the country could be on the brink to the point where there's no one bringing us back in any short period of time.
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, even if the Republicans take over the House and the Senate and Republican gets into the White House in 2024, you think it's going to magically just go away and undo all the things that Joe Biden took every single thing on week one that Donald Trump did and signed executive orders to put a stop to him. So he stopped the pipeline. He stopped the construction of the wall. Gas prices went up. That's when he started printing money like it was going out of style. Now we're
and the drilling on federal land. All that drilling on federal land was gone. I think all of you people who worship the ground that Barack Obama walked on better take one thing he said to heart. When he said, never underestimate the ability of Joe Biden to screw things up. That's a quote from Barack Obama, but you still voted for him. And he's screwing things up. And when I look at him, I don't see a man with the courage and fortitude and energy to turn it back around. I see a man who's being deluded by his handlers into saying, everything's fine, Joe. Everybody loves you. And he's saying, oh, good. Am I doing great? You're doing fabulous, Joe. Oh, good. That's what's happening, folks. You got the Wizard of Oz as president. Nobody's pulling back the curtain so you can see who it really is running the show. It's not Joe. And if you want some evidence that his party itself isn't even united, there was two, count them two, rebuttals from his own party. From his own party. And we got one from the Republican Party. So three rebuttals to his State of the Union address. I'll tell you, for the life of me, I do not understand the people who can look at this and say, I can sleep well at night. The country's in good hands. Because that evil Donald Trump who was tweeting mean things about Rosie O'Donnell isn't in anymore. So what's more important, Rosie O'Donnell's feelings or women and children in Afghanistan and women and children in Ukraine? What's more important, Donald Trump saying that Rosie's a fat pig or people falling off the wings of planes so desperate to escape Afghanistan that they knew certain death was coming, but they'd rather die by their own hand than the torture that was going to happen to them if they stayed? And then you tell me if you made the right choice. Because the answer is you didn't. I'm gonna go to the hospital.